It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning. And you can find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. And a Saturday morning has turned up, another busy weekend of real estate around the country as we chase property down, look at potential homes, look at available data. Perhaps you're going to do a drive-by today for the first, second or third time and try and suss out the market with your intuition. And whether you're seeking a house or apartment, preparing is absolute key. And make sure that you do this. Engage with real estate professionals to gather insights. It's not just due diligence on property that you should be mainly focusing on. Find out who the great minds of real estate are in your area. Of course, we talk to many of them right here, and the biggest investment of your life really does need to have the biggest groundwork of due diligence so that you've got a fighting chance to get onto the property ladder. Well, it's January the 27th today, and we are back to the time tunnel coming up this morning with our summer series of real estate interviews with the real estate industry's leading commentators. And we go back to July of last year when we caught up with Julia Warren from Geelong, and she was talking about the better value, the great value offered in Geelong compared to Melbourne. Plenty of Melburnians, she says, are investing and buying in Geelong. Also, Chris Sherry from Sydney is talking about the Sydney auction market and some of the numbers that we were looking at back in July, which was good for the Sydney sellers. And Eliza Owen from Core Logic is back again and providing some insights into the residential property market. So a lot of information, both good and bad, that is all coming up on your Real Estate Saturday.
Navigate the world of real estate like a pro with expert insights, opinions and trends to up your game and knowledge when buying your next property. You're listening to the summer series on the Real Estate Podcast.
There seems to be a different feeling in the air at the moment. There's a bit more confidence out there than there was earlier in the year. So there's still a really, really high volume of people looking, which is great.
Yeah, that is good. And just having a look at traditionally, the people that are moving into Geelong, it's always been very heavily influenced by Melburnians moving in. Is that still the case?
Definitely still the case. I would say comfortably 60 to 70% of people we're meeting on a Saturday aren't local. And whether that means they're coming from within 30 minutes or within 2 hours away, but still a very high volume of Melbourne people. I think regardless of the environment, we've noticed that still Geelong is better value in terms of what you get down here. And a lot of people are still moving down from Melbourne.
Oh, for sure. That's the primary reason they're moving there, for the dollar value and what they're getting. And in terms of the investors would be driving the market too out of Melbourne, I would suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the rental returns that you're still getting in Geelong here, there's investors have noticed, particularly because the market has calmed down. There's some great opportunity considering the rental demand is still very high. For example, I had someone yesterday from Melbourne who bought an investment in the area that the locals not particularly have love, but the investors gone, well, the return's great, a set and forget, off we go, and they're from Melbourne. So they're coming in with a pretty unbiased opinion on different pockets of Geelong as well.
What about first home buyers? Tell us a little bit about what's happening in the market, because I noted that you sold something quite recent and it was advertised as a possible knockdown and redevelopment site, but it sold for just over $612,000 and it was a first home buyer and they ain't knocking it down.
No, I think the first home buyers, they're not as spoilt for choice with their options in terms of renovations or rebuilds in terms of their limited budgets. So, it was a really great positioned home, but it certainly had its challenges in terms of the state that it was in. But yeah, these first home buyers who had locally rented in the area for many years loved the spot and decided that they could stick it out and do a bit of a very simple update to make it livable, and then in the future potentially do some renovations. But that first home buying market, obviously, you know, their selection really is the stuff that needs a lot of work in a premium area or out of town into a newer estate, into a, you know, your sort of your Metricon number. So I think these guys were very smart in their decision. It's sort of that short-term pain, long-term gain because of the location. But first home buyers certainly performing the most timid in terms of work, but these guys were happy to pull the sleeves up and get stuck into it, which is great to see.
From first-time home buyers to seasoned investors to breaking property news, discover the stories behind the real estate.
Yeah, certainly are seeing a spike. Generally, at least one of those buyers registered at each of our auctions is generally an expat or someone living abroad looking at purchasing in this Sydney marketplace currently, which is really strong figures. It's interesting to see, and it's great to see, and it's certainly given the market a bit of a boost and more confidence as well.
Yeah, it's quite interesting with the Americans, because a recent Knight Frank report just sort of highlighted how many of these Americans are investors and spending plenty of money in Sydney.
Well, yeah, it's certainly, it just makes sense. Sydney marketplace, if you look at over many years, the capital growth and the yields in Sydney, if you're holding on to it for longer than 4 to 5 years time frame, you're making some good money on it, and you always will continue to make money in Sydney on the Sydney marketplace. So it's a smart move for them to be making, and what they've seen the statistics, and that's why I truly believe that if you're looking to invest, that Sydney market is the place to be investing.
Well, let's have a look. Talking about exchanges, let's have a look right now at clearance rates, because last weekend I see that it was sitting at 74%. You compare that same time last year, 54. That tells a bit of a story.
Yeah, it certainly does. As I said, last year, because there was so much more stock, anywhere sitting between 500 to 1,000 per month, roughly around 250 per weekend, which is a significant number of more properties. The clearance rates are really strong at the currently. So as a business, we were 79% the same time last year to what they were at 54% as an average. However, as an average currently for the year to date for our business, we're still sitting over 80%. And the industry from year to date for 2023 is sitting just over 70%. So either way you look at it, anything in the 70% range is a great marketplace. Anything over 80% is an extraordinary marketplace. So you're seeing great figures out there.
Now, you talked about selling for over reserve. Domain reported that at the weekend in Melbourne, an auction experienced a, shall we say, a hesitant start, as bidders seemed very, very reluctant to make the first move. Not uncommon when it comes to an auction. Then an interesting thing took place. The auctioneer deliberately made it awkward and didn't say anything. He just went dead quiet. Still nothing, all quiet on the ground. Nobody wanted to kick off the bidding. Eventually, somebody broke the ice with a bid, which was at the lower end of the price range. However, the property managed to surpass its reserve price, to what you're saying, and was sold to a local buyer, $57,000 over reserve.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting strategy at the moment. I'm seeing a lot of these buyers, whether you're on a property of $500,000 or whether you're talking of a property of even the $10 million plus properties, all the buyers are very silent at the moment at starting auctions. As soon as we ask for an opening bidder offer, no one wants to talk. So it comes down to skill set, it comes down to experience, and it certainly comes down to a strategy that you've got employed by yourself and the agent to be able to strategize around that, because we're certainly seeing if you've got lack of experience out there in the auction world or even an agent world, it's going to be quite difficult for you to be able to get it across the line. But once we see we can crack that, and whether we start significantly lower where the guide is or whether we start right on the guide, depending on, again, on that strategy and how many registered buyers you have, we are certainly seeing some tremendous results, whether it's $100,000, whether it's even $300,000, $400,000 over reserve. And it comes down to that property, whether it's a development site or whether it's just one of those homes that ticks all the boxes and doesn't have anything wrong with it, and there's many people fighting for it. To be able to have the quality home in a tremendous location, it is superior at the moment, and people know that, and people will fight for it, and they'll pay a lot over in the event that there's some healthy competition.
You're listening to the Summer Series on the Real Estate Podcast.
Yeah, so this is definitely reaffirming the recovery in property values. That 2.8% lift was the highest quarterly increase we've seen since January 2022. So that is, of course, before the cash rate started to rise. And over the past 3 months, that growth has been strongest in Sydney at 4.9%. We're still seeing a little bit of weakness in regional Victoria that had one of the weaker results, down 1.3%. But aside from a handful of markets, most of the regional and capital cities are in that upswing phase now.
And just having a look at the combined capital cities dwelling market value, now that increased by 1.2% in June. What else happened around the combined capital cities?
Yeah, so the combined capitals market is definitely leading the upswing, up 1.2% in the month of June compared to just 0.5% across the regions. And a lot of that has to do with the post-lockdown migration trends, where more people are moving from regions to capital cities. The return of overseas migration is seeing housing demand skewed to capital cities. So really, we're seeing a bit of a normalizing in migration patterns compared to what we saw through the COVID period. And as mentioned, that's seeing a lot of strength in Sydney, but also Brisbane, which was up 3% in the quarter, Perth up 2.8%. And aside from Darwin, each of the capital cities has increased on a quarterly basis.
And over the past financial year, Australian home values, now they declined by 5.3%. What did your report tell us in the regional South Australia dwelling market? And also talk to the Hobart market, because I think that made a bit of a comment in your report, maybe for not all of the right reasons.
Yeah, so the Hobart market has seen a decline of about 13% over the past year, despite showing a recovery in values in recent months. Hobart is seeing a turn in market conditions after what was really a very large and extended upswing in value for much of the late 2010s and through COVID. So if you ask me, this downturn in the Hobart market was really a long time coming. We're seeing a lot of surplus in listings sitting on the market, and it really is a buyer's opportunity at the moment. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got regional South Australia leading growth over the past year. While most Australian housing markets were down year on year, regional SA was up 8.7%. So perhaps a bit surprising, the South Australian market has traditionally been more of a slow, steady performer. But through the past 3 years, it's just absolutely seen all of this value unleashed. Probably a hangover from the COVID period where we've seen the normalization of remote work, holiday accommodation, sea change, tree change markets. And South Australia is particularly affordable, so it's really reaped a lot of the benefits from that COVID cycle.
Yeah, it's just the darling at the moment. It seems to be competing with the Sunshine Coast, you know, going toe-to-toe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this market has really been transformed. And with people having more freedom to work remotely and now, of course, travel and explore these different areas, I think people are really getting the value out of that.
Mm. And June, now that saw an estimated 35,523 property sales nationwide. Where did that land in terms of the five-year average? And does it tell us anything about the stabilising market?
Yeah, so interestingly, sales volumes have continued to, you know, they're lower than where they were in the highs of 2021. You've had about 35,000 sales over June, and that's a little bit lower than the historic five-year average, which is closer to 40,000. But if we look at the broader trend, because looking at sales month on month on month on month, it can be quite volatile. The broader trend suggests that sales volumes are actually stabilizing. They're flattening flattening out. And that points to, I guess, a broad kind of stabilizing in market conditions more generally. It's reflected in days on market, where the stabilizing in sales volumes has coincided with slightly better selling conditions, particularly in the capital cities, where properties are now taking about 29 days to sell at the median level. And that's lower than 30 days in the first quarter of the year.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.